him opulence. Mama of me. Maya Vinaha of the Lord of Maya. Tam that. Aisharyam mystic perfection. Ashta Angam consisting of eight parts. Anu Pravrittam following. Shriyam splendor. Bhagavatim of the kingdom of God. Va or Asprahayanti they do not desire. Padram blissful. Parasya of the Supreme Lord. Me of me. Te those devotees. Ashnuvate enjoy. Tu but. Loke in this life. Thus, because he is completely absorbed in thought of me, the devotee does not desire even the highest benediction obtainable in the upper planetary systems, including Satyaloka. He does not desire the eight material perfections obtained from mystic yoga, nor does he desire to be elevated to the kingdom of God. Yet even without desiring them, the devotee enjoys, even in this life, all the offered benedictions. Purport. The vibhuti, or opulences, offered by Maya are of many varieties. We have experience of different varieties of material enjoyment, even on this planet. But if one is able to promote himself to higher planets, like Chandraloka, the sun, or still higher, Maharloka, Janaloka, or Tapaloka, or even ultimately the highest planet, which is inhabited by Brahma and is called Satyaloka, there are immense possibilities for material enjoyment. For example, the duration of life on higher planets is far, far greater than on this planet. It is said that on the moon, the duration of life is such that our 6 months are equal to 1 day. We cannot even imagine the duration of life on the highest planet. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that Brahma's 12 hours are inconceivable even to our mathematicians. These are all descriptions of the external energy of the Lord, or Maya. Besides these, there are other opulences which the yogis can achieve by their mystic power. They are also material. A devotee does not aspire for all these material pleasures, although they are available to him, simply by wishing. By the grace of the Lord, a devotee can achieve wonderful success simply by willing. But a real devotee does not like that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught that one should not desire material opulence or material reputation, nor should one try to enjoy material beauty. One should simply aspire to be absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord, even if one does not get liberation, but has to continue the process of birth and death unlimitedly. Actually, however, to one who engages in Krishna consciousness, liberation is already guaranteed. Devotees enjoy all the benefits of the higher planets and the Vaikuntha planets also. It is especially mentioned here, Bhagavatim Padram. In the Vaikuntha planets, everything is eternally peaceful. Yet a pure devotee does not even aspire to be promoted there. But still he gets that advantage. He enjoys all the facilities of the material and spiritual worlds, even during the present lifespan. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha
Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavatutam Parishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshako Pitrubhyascha Kripasindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ato viputim mama maya vinastam Aisharyam ashtangam anupravittam Shriyam bhagavatim vasprahayanti padram Parasya me te shnuvate tuloke It's said that every man has his price. But here it seems that a devotee cannot be purchased by any material bribe. Maya can offer anything in this material world. Bhukti, sense gratification. Mukti, liberation. Siddhi, mystic powers. And people want these things. The whole world is after sense gratification. Maybe a few men are after liberation. Mystic powers are very attractive. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakala ashanta. Everyone's mind is agitated by these things. I want this, that. But Krishna bhakta nishkam ateva shanta. Ateva shanta. A devotee has no material desires. Pure devotee. And therefore he's completely peaceful. It's indicated here that simply by willing, a devotee can get all the benefits of sense gratification, liberation, mystic powers. It's an intriguing statement. Then we might wonder, well, I'm a devotee, can I get these things? One thing is that it's indicated, pure devotee. Those of us who are practicing may not be able to get these things simply by willing. I wish I could get anything from the universe simply by... It's not simply by wishing, that because I've joined the ashram, now I can just snap my fingers and get anything. And it's a good thing, too. Otherwise, we'd never make any spiritual progress. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained. The Maharaj Yudhisthira asks that Lord Shiva lives like a beggar. He has no, like a sannyasi, he has nothing. He doesn't even have a house, he just lives under a tree. But we see that his devotees are
often very opulent, like Ravana and others. And Lord Vishnu is the husband of the goddess of fortune. He lives in Vaikuntha. But generally, his devotees are quite poor. So why is that? Then it was explained that... That if Krishna says that if I actually favor someone, then I'm the answer is that Lord Vishnu is very considerate. Lord Shiva gives benedictions indiscriminately. Therefore, sometimes his benedictions become troublesome even to him. But Vrikasura, you want the benediction that whosoever head you touch will fall off? His head will fall off. All right. And the demon immediately wanted to touch Lord Shiva's head. So, but anyway, Lord Shiva is very generous with benedictions. Therefore, he's called Ashutosh. Very easily pleased. But Lord Vishnu is considerate. Before he gives out benedictions, he considers, is this going to be in the best interest of the person to whom I'm giving it? He doesn't give benedictions very easily. Yasyaham anugrinami harishe tad tanam shanai. If he really favors someone, he takes everything away from him. Takes away all his money. Then the person tries to build it up again, and the Lord takes it away again. Till finally the person decides that I should just surrender. I have nothing. I have to surrender to the Lord. That's the greatest benediction. That's the greatest benediction. Of course, Krishna may give some material things, but when he truly favors the devotee, then he gives only pure devotional service. And a real devotee aspires only for pure devotional service. Nadanam nadranam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kame. Generally, we want money, dhanam, janam, and sundarim. Wealth, followers, and a nice girl. Dhanam, janam, sundarim. Or we want liberation. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't want any of these things. Mama janmani, janmani shure. Bhavatad bhakti rohaituki tvayi. Unmotivated devotional service. Ohaituki bhakti. To get something. Ato vibhutim mama maya vinastam. Vibhutim. These opulences are the opulences of maya. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita also we find that Gop Kumar travels to various parts of the universe. And he keeps getting offered all sorts of material facilities. After piercing into the coverings of the universe, he meets the different deities who are in charge of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence. And in each covering, he's offered greater facilities. The facilities in the coverings of the universe are greater than what's available within the universe itself. And in the final covering, the covering of Pradhan, or the total material energy, the Maya Devi herself says, please be kind to me, stay here. I'm this younger sister of Lord Vishnu. Whatever you want, I can give you. Even if you want devotional service, you can get that from me also. Just stay here and enjoy. Quite an offer. But Gop Kumar's
mind was fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. So he went beyond the material coverings into the abode of liberation, where the temptation to merge into the effulgence of the Lord is very strong. But that also he surpassed and went further till he finally reached Goloka Vrindavan. Ato vibhutim mama maya vinastam aisharyam ashtangam anupravrittam Shriyam Bhagavatim Vasprahayanti Bhadram Parasya me te shnuvate tu loke. Ashnuvate tu loke. This is a curious statement, that even in this material world, or even in this life, devotees offer, yet even without desiring them, the devotee enjoys, even in this life, all the offered benedictions. Puzzling assertion. Here we are, we've joined the ashram, we're not enjoying all these benedictions. Maybe, we have Amala Bhakta and Atmananda, they're yogis, but they haven't shown the eight mystic perfections. And material opulence, an apartment on Watsaka Avenue. What are we getting? Then does it mean that this is false? Even without desiring, the devotee enjoys in this life all the offered benedictions. What does this mean? In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, Vedeshu yagyeshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punyapalam pradishtam atyeti tad sarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam upayati chadyam. Whatever you can get from studying the Vedas, by performing yagyas, by giving charity, by performing tapasya, whatever pious results one might get by these methods, atyeti. Atyeti, Srila Prabhupada translates two ways, one way in the word for word and the other in the translation. One is that one surpasses all these things, and the other is one obtains all these things. Atyeti tat sarvamidam viditva. One obtains or transcends all these things. Yogi param sthanam upayati chadyam. And finally he goes to the kingdom of God. So thinking about it, Loke means in this world. One thing is, of course, sometimes a devotee does get all the stuff of this world, whatever he wants. Dhruva Maharaj, when he met Lord Vishnu, the Lord awarded him, you wanted a planet higher than even Satyaloka, take it. By that time, Dhruva had outgrown the desire, but Lord Vishnu said, no, you wanted it, take it. So sometimes the material benedictions are awarded. Or whatever one might get in the material world is available in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. You want a nice place to live. In the Goloka Vrindavan, the houses are made of chintamani. Here they're made of brick or maybe stone if you're lucky, but they're small time. But in the spiritual world, all the houses are made of gems, chintamani. And here we get a mango tree or a fig tree, but there all the trees are kalpa briksha, whatever you want, you get from any tree. Mangoes, figs, oranges, all off the same tree, and anything else you might want. Surabhi Rabhi Palayantam, the cows give unlimited milk. Oh, all opulences are there in Goloka Vrindavan, and the devotee shares in those opulences. The servant of the king enjoys practically on the same level as the king. You know, the king doesn't eat everything, who eats what's left? The servants. Now, in the spiritual world, everyone shares in the opulence of the Lord.
So anyone who attains the kingdom of God, what are the opulences of this material world anyway? They're just shadows of the reality. What does one get? And not even shadows, but frustrating shadows, perverted reflections. In the spiritual world, one gets all these things. But here it says, loke, even in this life, all benedictions.
Iha yasya harir dasye karmana manasa gira anikalash vapyavastasu jivan muktasuchate.
Now, anyone who in this world or in this life is fully dedicated to Krishna, karmana manasa gira, with his body, mind, and words, even in this life is a liberated soul.
Prabhupada gives the example that there's a coconut, and when it dries up, you shake the coconut and you'll hear the pulp rattling around. That means that even though the pulp is in the shell, it's disconnected. It's separated from the shell.
So in the same way, even though one may be in this material body, when one is a pure devotee of Krishna, he's disconnected from the business of this body. Even the self-realized soul, person who knows that he's not this body, he knows that the senses are carrying on with their objects, but I have nothing to do with this business. Huh? I have nothing to do with this business.
Tatantar jyotireva cha. What is that verse?
Tatantar jyotireva cha. Fifth chapter, I think. Let's see. Is it now?
Yeah. Yonta sukontara ramas tatantar jyotireva ya sa yogi brahmanirvanam brahmabhuto digacchati.
Anyone whose happiness is within, whose consciousness is within, who's enlightened within, he's liberated from this material world.
Shaknoti havya shodhum prakshirira vimokshanat. Kama krodhod bhavam vegam sayukta sa sukhinanha.
Anyone who controls the vegas, the urges of the senses, and is engaged in Krishna consciousness, is a happy person even in this world. He's freed from all dualities. And he's situated on the spiritual platform. So, of course, this is available both to the impersonalists and to the devotees. The impersonalists get freed from the bodily conception of life, but they enter a vague state of impersonal floating. And the devotees enter the personal relationship with Krishna. The person who enters a personal relationship with Krishna lives in the spiritual world, even in this life. The Goswamis appeared to be in the material existence, but because they were always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they were always living in the spiritual world. And when one lives in the, therefore, even though apparently in this material body, they were living in the spiritual world. And therefore, they were getting all the benedictions available by the association of Krishna.
Nama chintamani Krishna's chaitana rasa vigraha purna shuddha nitya mukta vinnatan namanamino.
The holy name of Krishna is chintamani. Touchstone. The story is there. Someone went to Lord Shiva to get a benediction. I want the most valuable thing. Lord Shiva, this time he also gave another benediction. Yes, there's one sadhu, Sanatan Goswami. He's got a touchstone. Go get it from him.
The sadhu, the man approached Sanatana Goswami, "Sir, Lord Shiva sent me to you." "Yes, I have a touchstone. It's in the garbage. You just collect it." So the man collected it. "Thank you very much." Went off, started touching everything, turning things to gold. Haribo. He's in ecstasy. Then, as often happens when we are in transactions, after he'd been gone a little while, he thought, "Wait a second, this guy's cheated me." He had this touchstone, but it was in the garbage. That means he has something more valuable. He turned around, came back. "Sir, you gave me this touchstone. Is it all right?" "Yes, it's all right. But you must have something better." "You want that something better?" "Yes." "Then throw the touchstone in the pool." Threw the touchstone, and Sanatana Goswami gave him the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Nama Chintamani. This ordinary touchstone just turns stuff to gold. That gets to be boring after a while. But the holy name of Krishna can fulfill all desires. Rasa Vigraha, it's the form of all nectar. Rasa Vigraha. Vigraha, just like Archa Vigraha, the form. Rasa Vigraha, the form of all tastes. Every taste that you want is there in the holy name, Rasa Vigraha. Or every relationship that we want with Krishna is there in the holy name. Rasa Vigraha. Purna, it's complete. Om Purna Madha Purna Midam. The holy name is the source of everything, the absolute truth. Satyam Param Dhimahi. And Shuddha, not like the contaminated stuff of this material world, absolutely pure. And Nityamukta, existing always on the platform of liberation. Because there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name, Abhinnatan Nama Namino. So if anyone gets the holy name of Krishna, then he gets everything. He gets the highest benediction. People are after benedictions. Give me money, give me this, that. But if they can actually get the holy name of Krishna, then they get the most valuable thing. Krishna Shetomar, Krishna Dite Para, Tomara Shakati Ache. The spiritual master is supposed to have Krishna because he's received Krishna in the Parampara system. Krishna means Krishna. There's no difference between Krishna and the holy name of Krishna. And the bona fide spiritual master has the power to give the holy name of Krishna to the sincere disciple. The spiritual master has to be bona fide, and the disciple has to be bona fide. Bona fide spiritual master means that he's simply acting as the representative of his spiritual master. And bona fide disciple means that he simply wants to serve the spiritual master, or that he's submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. When the spiritual master is authorized, potent, and the disciple is submissive, then the disciple gets all the benedictions of Krishna consciousness and his life becomes successful. Any questions? Comments?
You said the story of Gopala Kumar and Mahamaya. She offered to him the devotional service. And she said, "You know, you just stay here, you will get..." Is it possible that Mahamaya really can give to him the devotional service?
Mahamaya offered Gop Kumar devotional service. Is it possible that she could give it to him? Yes, Maya offers that. Why do you want to leave the material world? Just stay here and perform devotional service. I'll make all the arrangements. Just like sometimes a someone wants, some young man wants to join the ashram. So his parents say, why do you want to join the ashram? It's not necessary. Just stay home. We'll make all the arrangements for you to worship Krishna at home. But it's a trick. The real thing is, you just stay home. And whatever devotional service, all right. But the real thing is, stay home, stay entangled. So Maya offers that. Or the man wants to renounce family life. The wife says, why do you want to renounce? We can serve Krishna together into our 70s and 80s. So that's Maya's proposal. Mixed devotional service. Devotional service mixed with, as Marge was saying yesterday, mixed with karma, mixed with gyan. Anyway, Maya's offering devotional service. She can make the offer, but it's Maya. Yes.
Thank you for a nice class, Maharaj. Isn't it also true that sometimes, for example, in the case of King Yayati, King Yadu, that sometimes Krishna will fulfill their, allow them to pursue material desires, fulfill their material desires, only to bring them to the realization that material desires are really ridiculous, useless, worthless. Is that a special consideration because Krishna knows that they will wake up as opposed to become more entangled?
Yes, that's a kind of approach. That's called pravritti mark. Enjoy till you get sick of it. You know, sometimes it's offered that, all right, you carry on with some material sense gratification along with your devotional service, or even instead of devotional service. And at some point, one thinks, I'm not happy. I've got this. Material life is like that. Finally, one becomes dissatisfied. I'm rich, I'm famous, I'm powerful, I'm a nice wife, I have this, I have that, and I'm not happy. So then he thinks, I have to go for something else. So much of the world, there's that impulse, but they're not getting the right direction. So we have to give them the right direction. There's even a direction for those who can't follow any regulative principles. There's a direction in Srimad Bhagavatam for the Brahmanas, how they should live, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Shudras. Then there's finally a direction for those who just won't follow any regulative principles. The best sadhana for them is just gratify your senses like a pig. Eat till you puke. You become so fed up with it that finally you'll be burnt out and you'll say, all right, I surrender. But that's not for the intelligent person.
There's a statement, and, you know, they just kind of say that the humans are like a creature of habit. So it appears that... Prabhupada has said many times that we're actually, you know, in this material world because of bad habits. Mm. You know, we develop bad habits, and they're very hard to break. Mm. And sometimes Prabhupada said this goes birth after birth after birth. Mm. So, you know, this seems to be some kind of a, you know, even in Krishna consciousness, you develop habits. Mm. You develop a certain kind of mentality, and it may be very, you know, eccentric. It could be overzealous, and it could be false, although you may not know it. Like, you know, sometimes you can have a habit and you're just not that aware of it because you're so absorbed or involved in the particular habit that it's hard for you to see any kind of other perspective. So we find that in Krishna consciousness there's a certain way people think, the way they act, and you know, it's a particular habit they have, and it may not necessarily be the only way to see Krishna consciousness. Mm. So my question to you is that this is happening. We have so many, you know, different types of personalities, individuals, and they're all chanting Hare Krishna. They all want to, you know, be a devotee. But because of a certain kind of habit, they can't see. So how to break this? How to, you know, what to do to get on the right track and not be overzealous, but to know how to act properly, and then how to identify proper or improper activity. It seems to me that these things are very important in order to preach, in order to spread Krishna consciousness, in order to, for oneself, to make advancement.
Well, the first thing is that Krishna is a little gracious to eccentrics. There's a kind of habit which is not very important. People have their own eccentricities, their own tics and quirks and characteristics. And that's part of the variety of Krishna's creation. And if they're sincere and dedicated devotees, always engaged in Krishna consciousness, then their superficial eccentricities are not of much consequence. It doesn't really matter. In the material world, we all get ticked off by everyone else's characteristics. Why does he do this? But those things are superficial. One time, Maitreya Rishi Prabhu wrote to Srila Prabhupada and said that, what was it? That there's all this competition among devotees, and there's different kinds of displays there's clashes of opinion and all of this kind of stuff. You know, disagreement, clashes of opinion. He said, I think the root cause of this is impersonalism. Prabhupada wrote back to him, he said, no, the root cause is personalism. Everyone's a person, so everyone has a different outlook. So, in one sense, the challenge for us is how to live with one another, how to put up with one another and our own eccentricities, including how to put up with oneself. So that's part of it. Superficial differences are superficial. They don't matter. Then there's another kind of habit, which is the habit that's destructive to devotional service. That's a different thing. The habit of criticizing the devotees, the habit of inattention, the habit of giving some interpretation on the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, the habit of thinking, it's, you know, exaggerated. So many habits like that, habit of committing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Krishna will understand, I'm a devotee, I'm sincere, it's okay, I'm chanting. Krishna will save me. So I'll do it again. These kind of habits are destructive to devotional service. So those habits we have to get free from, especially by good association. If we associate with those who have bad habits, and we'll continue to have bad habits. You know, materialistic, critical-minded men get together and have gripe sessions. You know what Savas did? Well, what do you expect Savas to do? He does it all the time. Let me tell you what he did to me. You know, and that's their devotional life, to sit around and criticize this devotee or that devotee or some other devotee. And in that way, they torpedo their spiritual progress. But if we associate with persons who are pure-minded, who avoid such things, then by that touch, we get the opportunity to become pure-minded. By association, and then by sadhana, by regularly chanting, by regularly hearing, by regularly worshiping the deities. All these activities are for our purification. If we perform all these purifying activities, then it's expected that we'll gradually become free from these unwanted things.
I was also going to say that it also appears that it's almost impossible to change someone. Not impossible, but almost impossible.
Therefore, we have to depend on the holy name of Krishna. It's not exactly possible by all our best efforts. We try to reform someone this way, that way, get him to see, get him to understand, we bring him to the forum, we do whatever it is, LifeSpring or something, we try, we got some this way, that way, try to change the person, sit him down and talk with him, have somebody else talk with him, get heavy with him, threaten him. And so many things, you know, nothing may work. But we have confidence that if a person sincerely goes on chanting the holy name of Krishna, then Krishna from within will purify him. If he goes on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna from within, Hridyan taksto hivadrani vidhunoti suhritsuta. What can we do to purify anyone? But if we can just get a person to sit down and hear or chant, or take prasadam even, if we can just engage someone in these purifying activities, then Krishna will do the needful. It's not within our power, actually. We have to depend on Krishna, that if this person simply takes to the process, some aspect of the process, then the holy name of Krishna, the Krishna within his heart, can save him. We can't actually save anyone. Is that okay? Prigupati Prabhu.
Maharaj, you were saying towards the end of the lecture how the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So my question is it possible for the spiritual master to make a mistake in how the philosophy is interfacing with the world we experience it, and for that not to be an imperfection? I'll give an example. Like in 1968, Prabhupada was giving a lecture here in Los Angeles, and at one point in the lecture he was talking about how as Kali Yuga progresses, things are going to get worse and worse and worse. And he said that by the year 2000, everybody would be living underground. So, there might be, and the way he said it, it wasn't like he was just trying to imply that a few people will be living underground, but that, you know, people in general will be living underground. So apparently he was wrong about that. I mean, he's right about how Kali Yuga is progressing and things are getting worse and worse and worse, but it seems like maybe he was wrong about how people would be living underground. So my question is, are there things that the spiritual master says that we're supposed to take, you know, in the spirit of the word as opposed to the letter? Just like in law enforcement, they have, you know, there's the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. And sometimes the judge will go, well, you know, the spirit of the law was this and this, and therefore blah, blah, blah. You know, we're going to...
I don't think I'm ready to leave because the year 2000 has arrived and the prediction wasn't realized, wasn't actualized. In a case like, we throw out round numbers, you know, by the year 2000. Could be 2010, could even be 2500. Kali, in Kali Yuga, a few hundred years, even 1,000 years or so, this way or that way, is, you know, round numbers. But apart from that, is it possible, you know, coming to the underlying question, is it possible for the pure devotee to make a mistake in material consideration? I asked that question of Srila Prabhupada. We were talking about this last night. I was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada and some other devotees. And I said that Srila Prabhupada, sometimes we see that from the material point of view, the spiritual master sometimes makes some mistakes. And Srila Prabhupada said, that is material point of view. So then I pushed it. I said, well, sometimes we see that he even makes mistakes in spiritual matters. He quotes a verse wrong or something like that. Of course, we've all heard Prabhupada quote verses inexactly. Prabhupada again said, that is material point of view. He said, we have to see how the spiritual master is preaching Krishna consciousness, how he's fully engaged in the service of Krishna. Not that the spiritual master is like a magician. Prabhupada gave the example that Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the greatest scholar. But he accepted as his spiritual master Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who couldn't even read his own name, write his own name. So from the material point of view, that's an imperfection. But that's superficial consideration. Is that all right?
Well, Okay, can I ask a little bit further?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that, say,
I pushed it. Why can't you? Go ahead.
Okay. Is it possible that Prabhupada was wrong, say, about something like that we went to the moon?
Is it possible that Srila Prabhupada was wrong about that our going to the moon? It's possible. Yeah, even Prabhupada said it's possible. Maybe some other, maybe they went. But the ultimate point is not wrong. Even if they went, what did they get? Freedom from birth and death? Happiness? Pure consciousness? Even if they went, what have they gotten? But now it's going to take 10 years to go back to the moon. Even though we went there in what, 1970? 68, and the last time was what? 72 or something? So we boom, 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 big crash program, and we all went there within like 4 years to beat the Russians. And then now for the last 30 years, we've lost interest. The moon isn't important anymore. But now that George Bush is president, the moon has resumed its importance, and within only 10 years, we're going to go again, perhaps. And how much will it cost? And who's going to keep track of all the money and where it really goes? So it's possible that we went to the moon. In a possibilist world, everything is possible. Likely is something else again.
But that doesn't change the fact that the scientists and the politicians are cheaters and that we shouldn't
trust them. They're all cheaters and rascals. If they go to the moon, what will they do there? Eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Animals on the moon. But the moon is a heavenly planet. They won't actually go to the moon. Yeah, that's also there. There's a lot of non-Krishna conscious persons who have their doubts about this moon thing. That's another. Yeah, there's a couple of videos, there's books, there's all sorts of stuff. So even it's possible to make a case from empiric evidence that this moon thing is hoaxed. But our consideration is not on empiric evidence. We take our direction from Vedic literature, that Chandraloka is not accessible to gung-ho gung-ho Yankee conquistadores. Yes.
This subject of going to the moon, Prabhupada was asked about that many times. I know I was personally present in San Francisco in 1969 when a reporter came, and it was just after the alleged moonshot. I think it was 1969. And the reporter said, "Swami, what do you think of the moonshot?" Prabhupada said, "We did not go to the moon." So, and sometimes there's a lot of conversations where was really emphatic about saying we can go to the moon. But sometimes he would say, maybe they went to the which is, as I understand, an invisible planet.
We wish they'd go to the moon. All of them. Yes.
Just read my books. Trust what's in my books. I'm misquoting a little bit, but he's basically emphasizing that what is in his books is valid. And so the question that I have to you is there anything in those books that is not 100% true?
Is there anything in those books that... First of all, let's get back to the quotation. I don't think Prabhupada just dismissed his letters everything else.
Thank you.
Sometimes Prabhupada said, I have already written to such and such, the rest of you know, why, you know, don't you, haven't you seen it? But apart from that, the books are the most authoritative source of our information. Is there anything in the books that's not 100% true? I would allow that there may be some material example which may not be 100% true. The substance is true. Sometimes Prabhupada may give some example. Let me think. I was thinking of some example.
About the brain.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't. I only have one quarter of a brain, so I don't know how much brain anybody else has. I'd not like to divert attention to the big cerebric issues like that. Let me think. A commonplace example. Yeah, there's an example. That's a good one. Thank you, Subhas Prabhu. There are directions in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You get on this, you go on this railway line, and then you go four stops, and you go this way on the branch line, and so on. And actually, if you take some of those directions, you'll wind up in the Arabian Sea. Their directions are no longer current, or they were wrong to begin with, or whatever. But it doesn't mean that we're going to dismiss Chaitanya Charitamrita because I couldn't get on the branch line at 24 Parganas and go to this place and that place. These things are of no consequence. They're of no ultimate consequence. It's like in an argument. Someone says, but 9 out of 10 doctors have said such, have in a carefully controlled study, have come to this conclusion. And someone objects, no, it was 8.92 doctors. That's called an appeal to an objection of no consequence. It doesn't matter whether it was 8.92 doctors or 9 out of 10. So we have to not be disturbed by things of no consequence.
Yeah, I think that Srila Prabhupada says that purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Krishnadas Kaviraj Maharaj is saying how he decided to write on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mm-hmm. And in the purport there, Prabhupada says that in order to write about the Supreme Lord, one actually has to get the blessings of the spiritual master. Mm-hmm. And also of the Supreme Lord. And in that way, the Lord speaks through the pure devotee. And the words that are written are actually the instructions given to that pure devotee from the Supreme Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty, Prabhupada was pretty specific as to how to write. And we see that in Prabhupada's writings, this is the same understanding. I mean, otherwise, how can you write about the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Yeah, you know, it's also mentioned in Bhagavatam that in the writings of about Krishna there may be material imperfections. There may be grammatical imperfections, there may be so many things. But Shrinvanti Grinanti Gayanti Sadhava. Honest person will accept it. You tell him there's a fires in the house. He doesn't say, no, it's fire, singular. You said fires. I don't believe you. You know, pick up the message, stupid. Don't quibble about the grammar. Don't quibble about some small thing. Yes?
In a bit of a tete-a-tete recently, there was the question between the spiritual master, Prabhupada's infallibility versus, you know, Krishna telling him everything he needed to know. Can you explain the difference between that?
Infallibility versus Krishna telling him everything he needed to know. Of course, that's infallibility. If Krishna tells you everything you need to know, you're infallible. But, omniscient.
Omniscient. But they people use the word infallible and omniscient interchangeably.
Yeah, the spiritual master, Prabhupada told us, is not God. It's not that the spiritual master is God. Sakshadri tena samasta shastra. He has the qualities of God because he's representing God. But that doesn't mean that he's Bhagavan Swayam, that he's Krishna. Then you come to Mayavad philosophy. You come to Mayavad philosophy. The spiritual master, his perfection is that he's always engaged in the service of Krishna. Not that he's like a magician or that he's, you know, Uri Geller, he can bend spoons or something. That's not the point. Aviram Prabhu?
This story we were talking about last night. When Srila Prabhupada was ill in the last few months of his presence,
you just have to hold that mic up.
Oh, okay. When Srila Prabhupada was ill in the last few months of his presence with us, I remember Brahmananda Prabhu, who was quite a wonderful long rasa with Srila Prabhupada, long history. But one of his tendencies was to lean a little towards that over glorification of Prabhupada, to the one point where Prabhupada got very upset and actually sent him out of the movement for a while because he was saying that Prabhupada was actually God. Right? This was in 69 or 70. So again, this was in 1977. Brahmananda was saying, Srila Prabhupada, according to the Shastras, the pure devotee is the sum total of the demigods. And the demigods have all mystic powers. And because of this, he was building this, you know, sort of equation step by step. And Srila Prabhupada was progressively, you know, his jaw was dropping more and more in amazement. He was watching Brahmananda get all excited and say, because of this, you can throw off this disease, you can get up and you can go on living. And it was this amazing conclusion that he came to. And Prabhupada was just in awe. And finally he said, that is fanaticism.
This is a question, actually, that I had since the very beginning of my coming to the movement. How is it that, you know, we hear that the spiritual master is perfect? So, you know, how is it that he's perfect? He knows everything. You know, what does it mean? But therefore, Prabhupada, I was very happy that in 1976, I think Prabhupada said, not that he's like a magician. We have to understand things properly. The Prabhupada's perfection is not the same as Krishna's perfection, that he's the controller of, you know, the entire, he's the creator, destroyer, and maintainer of all the material worlds and the spiritual worlds, that he's the source of all incarnations, that da 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 da. You know, that's Krishna. Prabhupada's perfection is that he's a perfect servant of Krishna. Prabhupada said it's our philosophy, there are two. Krishna takes two forms, Krishna the master and Krishna the servant. Krishna the master is the supreme personality of Godhead. And Krishna the servant is one of the living entities. But Krishna the servant is a living entity who is perfectly situated in Krishna consciousness. Archita Prabhu.
Those who are looking for imperfections will find it even in Krishna.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why did he jump off the mountain? Why did he run away from, you know, Jarasandha? Why did he do this? Why did he do that? How could he dance with, you know, other people's wives? You know, if you're looking for imperfections, you'll find it even in God, what to speak of in God's servant.
Absolutely. Mataji?
Yeah, Isn't it a dangerous path to take to think that one knows better than the spiritual closer. Master? Isn't it a dangerous path to take to assume that one knows better than the spiritual master?
Yes.
I know that Srila Prabhupada said, if I say it's a snake and it's a rope, it's a snake. You should assume that it's a snake. There was also one time that he said that to Govinda Dasi, she was saying that he had pronounced a word wrong. And he said, you say it the way you want to say it, and I'll say it the way I want to say
yeah,
it.
Right.
And there's also instructions about even changing one word of the spiritual master, assuming that we know better. So, you know, what to speak of, I don't know, saying that we didn't go to the moon when Prabhupada says, you know, how do we... Where does having implicit faith in the spiritual master end, and then criticizing the spiritual master for some mistake that we think that he's made?
Prabhupada summarized it by saying, my spiritual master, wrong or right, he's always right. From a material point of view, he may be wrong or he may be right, but he's right. That was Prabhupada's statement. As far as changing one word of the spiritual master, that's a hard one for me because what my spiritual master employed me in was changing so many words, including wrong ones. Like Prabhupada said that Rukmini was so beautiful and she was wearing a padlock around her neck. Any of the ladies here wear padlocks around their necks? Prabhupada meant a locket. You know, one of those delicate little silver charms. Not a padlock, you know, like. So I changed it. But that was, it's not that my faith was diminished, that Prabhupada doesn't know what he's talking about. He said padlock when it should have been locket. Any child knows. It's not that I thought, you know, now my spiritual master, you know, why am I accepting this person as my spiritual master? He doesn't know a locket from a padlock. That's not the perfection. You know, perfect English prose. You know, there's so many Dr. such and such, you know, the unborn such and such within Krishna in beautiful English, but it's rascaldom. So Prabhupada's perfection was that he was a perfect servant of Krishna. Apart from that, you're right, that if we start thinking, you know, Prabhupada was spiritually perfect, but I'm materially perfect. You know, I know more materially than he does. In that way also, one gets into a lot of trouble, potentially. You know, Prabhupada doesn't really understand corporate law. He doesn't really understand this, that. I understand it. Therefore, I adjust everything, change everything, and crash everything. So one has to be very critical. If we want to look for a person to criticize, the best person is ourself. That if we're looking for imperfection, the one surest place to find it is in our own self. And the last place to go looking is in the spiritual master and Krishna. There were a couple people who wanted to say something, even though we're over time. Well, the president can speak over time.
Is there somebody else?
Yeah, there's a couple somebody else's. But anyway, you're... Amar, did you want to say something? Come on.
You can see the danger in both extremes.
Mm-hmm.
The danger in thinking that Prabhupada is God, or thinking that Prabhupada is to act as Krishna. And then when there is some areas that one has some dissonance with, then one can reject with the same amount of zeal. We also see the danger in just thinking that what the spiritual master does, you know, is relative.
Yeah.
And so when Prabhupada was on the boat coming here, we realized how in his prayer he was emphasizing about being a puppet and how much about Krishna using him. Krishna not, you know, looking at the danger, difficulty in preaching in such a degraded place, going to such a degraded place. But he's in his preaching and praying in the mood, Krishna, you must have some purpose. Use me as puppet. There's an example, you know, the Robin George case of how this girl was told, Prabhupada told the leaders to send her back home. And then later he found out that you know, the leaders did. And Prabhupada was very disturbed. He said he didn't know that the leaders did not send this girl back. And because of this, you know, we had so many complications. So an example of a situation where, you know, Prabhupada didn't know. But do we say, well, then Prabhupada can make all kinds of mistakes?
It's an example, if I could say, of two things. One is it's an example of how the spiritual master may not be omniscient in the same sense as Krishna. You know, unless we take it that he was just playing, it was his leela, that he pretended not to know, but he actually knew. And the other thing is it's an example of the disciple thinking he knows more, that Prabhupada told us to send her back, but actually that's, you know, not really what he wants us to do. What he really wants us to do is keep her here and get ourselves in deepest hot water we could imagine.
This is what some were thinking.
Yeah.
Prabhupada couldn't really want us to send this girl to Maya, you know, mm-hmm. So therefore he must not be really meaning this. Mm-hmm. So you see the danger there. Perhaps what Bhaktivinoda offers about Artha Prada and Paramartha Prada. Bhaktivinoda writes about there is Artha Prada and Paramartha Prada. Hmm. Artha Prada are those things that are related to material energy. And he says that such things can be investigated, can be accepted, also can be rejected according to, you know, the present validity of etc. There's a Paramartha Prada, certain things that are essential to by Vaishnava culture, essential to our identity, and those things, you know, never to be challenged or touched upon. And so, therefore, when there are certain things in relationship to material energy, material culture, things of that nature, it's not that we have to feel shy to suggest that, you know, it's not accurate at this point. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we are to be happy. It says we're happy with Krishna's human-like activities, expressions. So we also be happy with the guru's human-like activities. The, you know, the Foundacharya's human-like activities. But it's delicate because some people will say, oh, that's sacrilegious, that if you are not accepting every single thing that the spiritual master does. But also some will say people who have that kind of mindset, then it's actually fundamentalism because we have to keep looking at the essence of what is being offered. And Prabhupada wanted us not to just be mechanical. He did not want us just to be superficial. So much of what he gave was trying to give us the essential aspects of what it means, you know, to be God conscious. So we have to keep, you know, kind of revisiting that, that we are not speculating, interpolating, that we're not thinking Prabhupada is relative. But at the same time, we realize that Prabhupada is not God. Hmm.
It's like we have a typical program. Either we fall off the starboard side or we fall off the port side. That the real thing is to stay on ship and stay on course. Abhiram Prabhu?
This quote you mentioned a few minutes ago, I think, is very telling, where Srila Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj, whether he was wrong or right, he was always right. Hmm. King Yudhisthira was wrong, but Krishna made it right.
Hmm.
And so the pure devotee is acting within the relative world, and every action is covered with fault, as fire is covered by smoke. Srila Prabhupada left home. From his children's point of view, I'm still very much in touch with, it was a ghastly event. Even Srila Prabhupada confessed to me how he felt about it. He said, to this day, I still regret how harsh I was. But Krishna made it glorious. And so many other children were benefited. His family expanded, and his shelter as a father expanded. So when he's wrong, he's right, because Krishna makes it right. In
the example of that, of how Prabhupada said he wasn't aware that the landlord who owned Jupiter property was a cheater. Krishna covered him up.
Yeah. So there's this is an extraordinarily important point, because it's cutting the line between personalism and impersonalism. And we've seen so many examples of swinging in the impersonal direction by taking it in the wrong way. We have to see what it means that one acts in the material world, there will be fault. History will judge Srila Prabhupada wrong in the Gurukul issue, in a number of issues. That's a fault. But there's a glorious view to it. When Sishupal was criticizing Krishna, everything he said was true. Sishupal was not some street punk who was just making up things. He was an aristocrat in front of the greatest aristocrats in the world. He wasn't about to make a fool of himself. Krishna ran from the battlefield. His his parental background is a little unsure. Is he really a Kshatriya? Is he, you know, he runs off with other men's wives. He didn't lie. And on one half of the room, people were going, yeah, 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 what a guy he is. On the other half, they were thinking, yes, that's why we love him. Because he's such a wonderful rascal. So the impersonal and personalist issue is very much alive with the spiritual master. And you'll see in almost every other spiritual movement, the guru becomes God. Jesus Christ has become God. He is the creator of heaven and earth, right? Every guru in India, what do you think of when you think of the Shivananda movement or this movement? Or you think of the guru. What do you think of when you think of the Hare Krishna movement? The chanting of Hare Krishna, which is what he wanted to be prominent. That's the unique difference. And Prabhupada, I was talking about this last night, and after this affair with the four sannyasis in 1970, Srila Prabhupada said, I will turn my back on all of you if you want to make me God. That's...
We have someone who really wants to... Who's that there?
Balaram. Hare Bol Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. That's his there.
If I was a bhakta, I actually would be very... there's a lot discussed in this class that can really make me confused. So, just to close it, I mean, to just say my observation, that in this path, the point being that we are strengthening faith, our faith, by discussion. And just like yesterday, there was a very senior devotee, and I just heard that he became a born-again Christian. So in every path, in every step of the way, their Maya is continuously working, and there are two roads available. The right point of view to the perfection of this path, and the other road, which is the other version. So in protecting the bhaktas, or even myself, that it's very important to always associate with those devotees with the right version.
There's in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami examines a lot of verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he asks these questions like, actually he's giving answers, but behind the answer there's a question, you know, how can this be right? It says this, but it's in conflict with that. That means he's not just assuming, you know, in course we look at it and say, well, it's Bhagavatam says. But Sanatana Goswami looks at it and says, how can this be right? And then he finds out how it's right. So our premise is that we have full faith in Srila Prabhupada, and we have full confidence in Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya of this movement, as our spiritual leader, as our source of perfect knowledge. But for us to examine, why do we believe this? How is it true? Only strengthens us. We can say things, you know, just as slogans and not examine them. But if we examine them, we become stronger, that because we've looked at it and we know why we accept it. So, but your point is very good. It's not that we're doubtful about these things, but we want to understand why we have these conclusions. Prabhupada, for the first Bhakti Shastri test, it was a very easy test. It's nothing like what we have now. There were like 10 questions. One of the questions was, do you believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? If so, give your reasons. So everything is with reasons. And maybe we, I think you said we were going to wrap up, so I think that was a good idea. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.